May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you, one and all. My mind is racing this morning for a number of reasons, and largely because of the message that I'm going to bring you. Anyone know how to ride a bicycle here? Remember what it was like years ago? Can everyone here ride a bicycle?
Well, I rode a bicycle to Coca-Cola. Not from Florida.
From Marriott.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of learning to ride a bicycle. And what I mean is that I'm trying to change a way that I deliver and bring the message every Sunday. And while it's actually been part of my goal in that long process of training to be the minister of God that he wants me to be. And rather than being professorial, which I've been told I am, and just reading largely from the script, I'm trying my best to get off the written word and just bring the message. And to do that, there requires certainly some preparation, of course. But at the same time, it also requires, I think, a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust. And we talk about trusting and obeying. And part of it is like, okay, and my prayer over here was riding that bike, was give me the message and the scripture, and then I'll let the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, the temple of God, which we're all temples, and the Holy Spirit dwells here, and let the Holy Spirit then bring the message. So I look for your editorials after the service, and hopefully it'll be well received. And the reason that I'm sort of taking this avenue is because Joe reminded me that I read the wrong gospel this morning. And then I actually taught a different gospel yesterday at Bible study for the BOSTA, Brothers of St. Andrews at St. Barnabas, that I was a member of for a number of years, and I'm still leading that once a month Bible study. So I read to you the Pharisees taking counsel and Jesus saying, "Show me the tribute money." And they brought it him a penny, and he said to them, "Whose is the image and subscription?" And they say unto him, "Caesar's." And then he said, "Render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's, and unto God which things are God." Now, had I read to you the Sunday before Advent today, we would have read this scripture here, and I'm going to go over it real quick. Sunday before Advent, and it's in your bulletin, is John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread, and that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and the number about 5,000. And I'm going to stop reading there, because now you know the requested gospel for today is the feeding of the 5,000. So now we have 2 lessons here. We're having Jesus give us a lesson on render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's and unto God those things that are God. And then had I been on cue like I should be, I'd have been teaching you about the feeding of the 5,000. However, had you been with me yesterday morning, this is what you would have heard. The parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who had his own servants and delivered him goods to them. And the one he gave 5 talents, the other 2, and another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Y'all know the story of the 5 talents, right? So now we're not dealing with 1 story or 2 stories, but 3 stories. And I suppose, Ann, that we're on a tricycle, not a bicycle today.
I do that too.
You do that too. So which lesson should we hear? Is there some strain of reality here? Is there some thread that ties them all together? Now, next Sunday is Advent. We're actually concluding the longest season of the year, the Trinity season. This is the last Sunday. So next week we'll be out of our traditional longest serving, roughly 6 months of green, and we'll be in the 4 weeks of Advent. I guess we'll have the Advent candle and wreath out here, right? Start lighting the candles next week. So we'll be in the 4 weeks of that. So looking at the lectionary and trying to decide, well, why are we talking about the feeding of the 5,000? You know, that was actually the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In fact, he did two things. He fed 4 and 5. The 4,000 feeding was to the Jews over in Judah. And then he crossed the Lake Gennesaret and went over to Decapolis and fed the 5,000, the Gentiles. Y'all remember that story? We had that earlier in the year. And the feeding of the 5,000, was he feeding them 5 loaves of 5 fishes, 2 fishes, 5 loaves of bread? What was going on there? The mixture and it was all different because he had 7 fishes over here with the Jews and then the other. And there was a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. The message being that as we enter into Advent, looking for the Christ child on Christmas, the birth of something new, are we not also looking at the birth of something new, the birth of the church that we've been studying in Acts for the last several weeks, and how so much parallels to where we are in our world today, as Richard just mentioned, you know, to keep the forefront of our minds, our doula oblongata on the forefront of the needs of the church today, where Christians are being persecuted, and how we should sustain and take in those things that matter to us as we learn to build ourselves up. Now, Dr. Peter Steinke wrote an incredible book I've just finished reading, and it talks about the open door. And the open door, he talks about the church in this way. And by the way, he's a 40-year church psychologist, and he goes into troubled churches or struggling churches or whatever, and he sort of develops a program for them to help them organize and work towards something that's critically important in every church. And we'll talk about this later on. I wanted to do my homework before we got into the details. And it has to do with mission and hope. One of the things that's happened in the church today is we've lost our mission. And our mission, quite frankly, is a summary of the law, to love God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, and to love each other as Christ loved us. But we also have to have a vision. And the way he describes it is called inputting and outputting. The input is to train up those who are in the church body, but to have that mission to move outside of that, and that's the output. So as we grow and develop, we'll have to find a way to reach out to that part of the world that is in great need. And one of the ways that we do that is, just like Richard said, keep our hearts and minds through prayer on the needs of other Christians around the world who are suffering. And they're suffering in a way far greater than the way we can suffer. Their lives are at stake. I just saw where that group in Africa pulled a bus aside and murdered 28 people. I mean, this is not new, and I might as well tell you, is this live? It's okay. I don't think it's any secret because we've talked about it. I mean, there's cells right here. The war for years, this country has always fought, since the 18th century, the last war between the states. But since then, the wars have all been fought overseas. Well, we can no longer look at the war being fought overseas. The war will be fought here. And in a lot of ways, that war is not necessarily with guns and bullets. That war is between, the hearts and minds of people in our country. And you deal with that on a regular basis, trying to teach those students, and I've heard the reports that you've given us. So I don't want to get too far off the subject here. What's important for us to remember is that when Jesus says to the hypocrites and the Pharisees who were trying to trick him, was to render unto Caesar those things to Caesar, but unto God those things that are God. So what are you doing here today? You are the face of the coin. You are rendering unto God those things that are God, because you're here to worship God, and you do that once a week. I hope you do it on a regular basis at home in prayer and meditation and devotion, but on a corporate level, you do that as a group. And we should do that as a group on a regular basis, including the Bible study that we have. Now, Sunday's worship, we can only get through so much. But in detail, we can spend an hour or two getting into the depth of the Word of God. And again, it's building us up and preparing us to fight the battle, because the battle is looming. So in preparation of what we're doing today, we're here for a reason. God has brought us here today, and this is the most we've had in some time. We've got 13 here today, I think. That's what I counted. We have 13 members, and I look for that to grow. But I want to also remind us that this is a time to also be thankful. On Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's a time for us to be thankful for the gifts that God has given us. The gift of life. The gift of friendship. The gift of freedom. And right now, the gift of protection, that we can worship in a country still. How much longer, we don't know. But at least worship in a country where we have the freedom to come worship and still gather and not be condemned or murdered for doing nothing more than proclaiming our faith in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the one and only living God. So as we prepare for Advent, let's remember to keep what's focused, and that's what Christ is telling us here. Be focused on the things that are Caesar's, which we do when we pay our taxes, and we should, for public works and all the things for a national defense and all the things that go along with it. But at the same time, keep mindful of the needs of the things that are God's. And the reason I brought the talents in, you know, how do we do that? As an expression of how we do these things, giving the things that are Caesar's his and to God that are God's, we do that through our talents. And as you can see from the lesson of the talents, the 5, 2, and 1, the 5 doubled his, the 2 doubled his, and the 1 buried his. The message that God wants us to have is don't bury your talents. Your talents are gifts that are given from him. Some of them are God-given, and some of them are developed. We talked about this. I mean, you just didn't sit down at the bench and start playing the organ or piano. You developed that gift and that talent if you're willing to discipline and sacrifice and reach that point in life to develop that talent. So talents are both God-given and developed talents. So we should use our talents in a way that glorifies God. Now, in the next portion of this passage in Matthew 26, 25, and it's all in red, so Christ is continuing his lesson here. He talks about sheep and goats, and that's where I'll conclude. This is what I taught yesterday. You know, the world is kind of divided into sheep and goats, and the reason I saw the parallel here between Caesar and God, rendering either way, is that Jesus sort of talked about us being divided into sheep and goats. And so I posed the question, and young Joseph answered, and I said, what is the difference between a sheep and a goat? If you're not in the farming community, it would be hard. Does anyone know the difference between a sheep and a goat? You know? What?
But all the sheep are stupid.
Okay, sheep are stupid. Little Joe said that goats stray, but sheep follow.
No, they scatter. Huh? Trying to herd them, they scatter.
Yeah, right. But the sheep, we're likened to sheep. The believers are likened to sheep, and we follow a shepherd, Christ. We follow Christ. Now, if you're a goat, you'll run off on your own. So it's sheep and goat are believers and non-believers. If you're a believer, you're a sheep. If you're a goat, you'll run out and just chase the dreams and the things of the world. And maybe that's not such a good thing. So we're seeing some parallels here. The coin, Caesar's coin, rendering back and forth the sheep and the goat. And the message is at the end here, and this really touches me, when he talks about, I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And then he goes on to say, there may be a time, I'm paraphrasing, there may be a time that I might be that person that you're clothing and you're given drink, and you're caring for. The real lesson in that is, let us treat others the way Christ would treat us. Let us fulfill the summary of the law. Let us continue to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Let's render unto God the things that are God. And also to love each other as Christ loved us. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.